Next week, voters will decide if the state should lift the cap on charter schools, allowing up to 12 additional charter schools to open in the state each year. In the latest political ad in favor of question number two, Governor Charlie Baker makes a direct plea to suburban voters.
Imagine if your kids were trapped in a failing school. Public charter schools give parents a choice and are a pathway to success for these kids. If you like your school, question two won't affect you. But question two will change the future for thousands of kids who need your help.
Governor Baker argues most suburban school districts would not be affected by lifting the charter school cap because most have not reached their cap limits. WBUR's Tanya Mosley has been looking into this and joins us this morning with more. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Bob.
Explain the argument behind Governor Baker's idea that question number two would only affect urban school districts.
Well, urban districts like Boston, Lowell, Fall River, and Everett are at or near the allotted number of charter schools in the district. And we've all heard about those numbers on those wait lists, up to upwards of 30,000 kids. But the majority of suburban districts are not at capacity. We're talking about places like Lexington, Newton, Wellesley, and Concord don't even have charter schools in those districts. But of course, we'll have a say in whether question two passes or fails.
So what's the argument against question two in relation to its effect on suburban districts?
Well, this is pretty complicated, and there are lots of arguments. There's concern about fully funding traditional public schools in the state. And then there's the basic philosophical opposition of privatization. And then there are questions about whether boutique charter schools could open later and compete for funding with those successful suburban schools. I spent time with two suburban voters to learn more on their stance, both for and against, and they both agree this is not just an urban issue.
Hi, are you Margaret?
Yes.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
I found your house from all the no on too. I eliminated address.
68-year-old Margaret Heights has lived in Lexington for 23 years. She and her husband moved here so that their daughters, who are now adults, could attend the district schools. And they chose a home less than a mile away from Lexington High, consistently ranked as one of the top 10 high schools in the state. Second to her family, Heights is also passionate about politics. She's one of those diehards you often see on street corners, waving around signs for her favorite political candidate. For this election cycle, she's only holding up signs for one cause. No on question two. Heights is concerned about all the dark money and out-of-state funding in support of lifting the charter school cap.
This is a public responsibility, and I don't want some hedge fund manager in New York living high off the hog because of some amount of money that they're skimming off the top of my taxes.
Right now, charter schools don't exist in Lexington. They just aren't in demand. But Heights thinks the vague language around question two could open up the possibility.
Hello,
Hi,
how are you?
Yeah, how are you? I'm
nice
Tom
to
Kate.
Meet you. Thank you for having
in.
Me.
No problem.
8 miles away in West Newton, Tom Kane lives with his wife and two sons, ages 10 and 16. Like Margaret Heights, the Canes were lured by the strong reputation of the schools in Newton. But on the issue of charters, Heights and Kane are divided. Kane is voting yes on question two.
The people who are most affected by this are most in favor of it. And the people who are least affected by it are most opposed to it. But I think it's because of a misunderstanding of just, you know, what the issues are.
Kane is an education professor at Harvard University. Back in 2007, he worked on a study that followed two groups of students in Boston, those who won a lottery to get into a charter school and those who didn't. A few years later, the researchers followed up with both sets of children and found those who attended charter schools scored better on standardized tests. Kane believes if a charter school wanted to open up in Newton or Lexington, it would have happened already because these areas, he says, have not reached their cap limits. Kane's yes vote is in support of students, he says, who don't have the fortune of going to the schools his sons attend.
You know, our kids have so many advantages. They would do well, you know, even with mediocre schools. It's the children and families that are at such disadvantage in so many areas of life that these schools really do potentially represent a way out.
Up until a few weeks ago, Margaret Heights admits the stories of bad public schools and charter options had been more of an intellectual discussion, a support against, in principle. That is, until she met someone who worked in one of those failing public schools.
I met somebody from Fall River who said, you know, the clocks on the walls in our classrooms are broken. they don't even tell the right time. That points to a real problem.
But this story has actually deepened Heitz's resolve to vote no on question two. The focus, she says, should be on improving traditional public schools.
It's important for people in the suburbs, who some of whom feel sort of a guilt complex, I think. They think, well, we've got a great school here in Lexington, but what about those poor kids in Fall River or Lowell or Lawrence or whatever? And they don't have access to the same money. So if we vote no, we're shutting down their opportunities. I don't think that's the case.
So, Bob, what is interesting is that both Tom Kane and Margaret Heitz agree that legislators should be focused on fully funding traditional public schools. But Kane argues they've had 50 years to improve schools in the urban districts, and at this point, he believes charters provide the best option for kids who only have an option of a failing school.
I'm reminded of the latest WBUR poll on this issue, which seems very close. Just a few days to go until the election, is there any indication that these numbers will lean one way or the other?
Well, Bob, we decided to take a sociological approach at this one. I spoke with Cambridge native Lily Geismer, who wrote about political trends in the suburbs along Route 128. That's Newton, Lexington, Concord, Lincoln, and Brookline. In her book, Don't Blame Us, Suburban Liberals and the Transformation of the Democratic Party, she describes these communities as upper middle class areas with a liberal stance.
Quite liberal on national political issues. In the 1960s and 70s, these were places that were incredibly against the Vietnam War. They were at the forefront of battles over civil rights at the national level.
But Geismer's research found that these areas tend to be liberal only to a point.
The closer and closer you get to people's property values, their tax rates and their children's education, their politics become less progressive.
So, Tanya, do you think that means that for suburban voters, it comes down to whether they believe charter schools will actually affect them?
That's right. And Geismer notes that these suburban liberals are a small percentage of the population in Greater Boston, but they hold a disproportionate amount of political power because they come out in great numbers to vote. It's why Governor Baker has targeted these ads specifically to them.
WBUR reporter Tanya Mosley from WBUR's Edify team will be on this through Election Day and beyond. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, Bob.